And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 16th of December, just 9 days to the big day. How are you all keeping? I do hope you are very well indeed. When I drove to work this morning, I don't know if it wasn't forecast or I didn't see the forecast, but it was pretty icy out there today, spots of black ice. Unfortunately, a couple of cars off the roads, seemingly more structural damage, which is a pain in the backside than any serious injury. But still, there might be some of that still about. So just, you know, the places where you're likely to see a little bit of black ice or a bit of slip, just be cautious this morning, though most of you probably already have gotten to where you need to go. Anyway, our lines are open if you've got anything you want to talk about in the show today, any information you want to pass on, any good news, any information to lift our spirits. We love it all here in the 9 till noon show. The WhatsApp and the text number is 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. We love your calls too on 07491 25000, and email comments at highlandradio.com. If you are listening to the podcast right now, or indeed the overnight replay, feel free to have your say on anything we're discussing today. We'll carry your comments over on to the next show. Coming up later on, we have Community Garda information, and that's just part of a very busy 3 hours for you. And just to remind you, you can watch the programme daily here across our Facebook pages on your mobile devices. Just search Highland Radio. We've a number of pages there. You'll come across us. We're on the X platform as well, Highland Radio Ireland, and also on YouTube, which has become perhaps the favoured portal for people to watch, because you can watch on all your mobile devices, your laptop, but also, as most of you now have a smart TV, we have a YouTube app on it, and we're on that, Highland Radio Ireland. So you can watch us there, or on your Fire Stick if it happens to be a less smart TV, but you love watching a Fire Stick for obviously perfectly legal reasons. You know yourself, wink, wink. Right, the Irish Independent this morning. Divisions within Fianna Fáil over the handling of its presidential campaign are deepening, we're told, amid confusion last night over whether a review on the party's campaign would face further delays. The review panel tasked with drawing up the report was due to meet last night, and it was expected that Taoiseach Micheál Martin would be given a copy of it once it was completed. This would pave the way for the review to be published a month behind schedule. But that timeline is far from certain, and some TDs, including, I believe, Pat the Cope Gallagher, are concerned it could be delayed further, which could prompt a furious backlash. In a sign of deepening tensions over the process, a statement from three of the party's longest-serving TDs calling for its immediate release and criticising leaks of the report prompted the Taoiseach to issue a statement. In a sharp tone, Mr. Martin distanced himself from any leaks and insisted he had not yet seen the report. A statement said the party leader takes exception to some of what has been written about the report, which was based on false assertions. It said the commentary of the past week has been extremely disappointing, selective and inaccurate. The statement from the three TDs, Willie O'Dea, Sean O'Farrell, and, as I mentioned, Pat the Cope Gallagher, said the leaking of the report is causing damage to the party, and that Fianna Fáil members and public representatives deserve transparency and respect. And I think really there is a sense, certainly from members that have been in the party for quite some time, and maybe not exclusively, that there's been a series of disrespectful sort of actions in this entire process in terms of consultation, maybe reaching out to see if any of them might be interested, for an example, in running themselves, and also the way the whole thing was handled, which has been a bit of a... But nothing's going to come of it, is it? The report will come out, it will point to failings and point to where things will improve, and then everything will move forward, won't it? I don't think we're going to see Jack Chambers or Micheál Martin face any sanction. I'd be very surprised. But what do you think? What would you like to see? And I mean, obviously, I'm speaking to Fianna Fáil members when I say that. In the Irish Times, fears about a breakdown in social cohesion are prompting the government to seek to reduce the number of people coming to Ireland to seek asylum, the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, has said. And it's remarkable how the language used by Irish politicians, there's like a 4 month delay with the exact same language being used by British politicians. Social cohesion, the breakdown of social cohesion, was the exact phraseology used in Britain when they announced the changes to their immigration or immigration rules. The exact same language, the breakdown of social cohesion. Mr. O'Callaghan also signalled likely future reductions in the number of foreign students permitted to come to Ireland to learn English. In an interview with the Irish Times Inside Politico podcast, Mr. O'Callaghan said that he wanted to be careful talking about immigration, but I have to be frank about it as well. Like, it's a fine aspiration to say we can welcome into Ireland everyone who wants to claim asylum. I can't. That's not realistic. And I have to be careful that the numbers, which were exceptionally high last year, 18,500 people arrived last year, that those numbers are reduced, as otherwise we will have a breakdown in social cohesion. We'll have tents on streets. I know there are some, but we'll have many more tents on the streets. So social cohesion really is what some of you out there have already been talking about, that places that, and this is not fault of the people per se, right, that have come here. It's just the way the system was run. So you'll get small villages, small towns, large towns, whereby large groups of people often are moved into particular areas because that's where the accommodation is available. And you've been saying for years in messaging in this show that you've got nothing against the people. It's not born of any racism or anything, but it is, has changed places. And that's what really a fancy way of saying that is social cohesion. Right, on to the Irish Daily Mail now. And ambulance services around the country are being abused by people seeking to use them as taxis home on nights out, paramedics have confirmed to the Irish Daily Mail. Now, we're putting the feelers out to see if this is something that happens in Donegal. And they also revealed how people are calling ambulances in order to foist elderly relatives onto the health service so families can go away on their holidays, which is a remarkable accusation. Tralee Fine Gael councillor Angie Bailey said people who can't find a cab home are calling 999, travelling by ambulance as far as the hospital and walking for the rest of the way. There are no fees for ambulance call-outs and paramedics are obligated to respond to every emergency call. Like, that's two things. I'm not surprised that there have been cases of it, but the fact that it must be so widespread that a councillor is on the second page of one of the biggest papers in the country. So the two accusations are people are calling ambulances, getting a lift as far as the hospital. So let's just say theoretically what this is an example of. What they're saying is, and this happens around the country, not specifically here, someone's out in Ballybuffet, can't get a taxi back to Letterkenny where they live. So they call an ambulance, get a lift to the hospital and then walk from the hospital home. Like, has that ever happened? The councillor believes it has around the country. Have to accept that that must be the case. And also, has anyone really, I'm sure they have if she said it, you're heading away on holidays and you call 999 and have your elderly relative transported to the hospital so you can then go to the airport and fly on holidays? Again, I'm not saying it's never happened, but it's a remarkable accusation that must be happening on such a scale that she's speaking out publicly on it. Councillor Bailey said current laws surrounding prank calls to the National Ambulance Service need to be enforced to deter such behaviour. The Mail contacted several paramedics in different regions who all confirmed instances of this type are happening nationwide. So as I say, we're putting the feelers out to see if that type of abuse is happening of, well, A, I would say the elderly, in the second example there, but B, of the ambulance service in terms of using it as a taxi home, effectively. On to the Irish Daily Star now, and the Chief Rabbi of Ireland has urged members of the Jewish community in Ireland not to cower at home in the wake of the Sydney terror attack. Yanni Wieder said at a celebration in South Dublin to mark the second day of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah, "We need to make the extra effort to come out, to not be seen, to say that we are here, that we are proud and that we are not going to cower." The event took place at Herzog Park a day after Sunday's attack killed 15 members of the Jewish faith and injured dozens more. I don't believe they were all Jewish, but certainly the majority of them were. Last night's celebration at the park, named after an Irish-born president of Israel, came a fortnight after a plan to have it renamed was removed from the agenda of Dublin City. I at a point now whereby if there were a major event in Dublin, for an example, a major event that I would think, especially if I was bringing the kids, right, I would be thinking, is it possible that today's the day where something massive like what we've seen in Australia, we've seen in Britain, France, Germany, everywhere effectively except here on a scale, that is today the day that it happens here, you know, because we could be seen as soft touches, right? That's probably completely irrational. But part of me thinks like if there was a massive event in Dublin, a New Year's Eve celebration or something along those lines, would you think twice? I'm sure I wouldn't, but subconsciously or even consciously, part of my mind thinks that could today be the day? It's different if I take my own risk, but what if I risked it with the children? I don't know. Maybe I'm being completely irrational. The Sun this morning, filmmaker Rob Reiner's drug addict son, which is not really the... Okay. His drug addict son was arrested after the Hollywood big shot and his wife were knifed to death at their mansion. Daughter Romy, 28, found the bodies of Misery and Stand By Me director Rob, 78, and Maggie Singer Rayner, 68, with their throats cut. This is Spinal Tap, was one of his films. A Few Good Men, another. Stand By Me, The Princess's Bride, and Misery, which is in a lot of people's top 10. Rob Rayner was responsible for all of these films. Last night, their troubled 32-year-old son Nick was being held at the LA County Jail. On bail of $3.4 million, emergency services were called to the Rayner's six-bedroom estate in Brentwood. But the thing that's really, I mean, that is primarily the most horrendous thing, obviously. But Rob Rayner was really quite vocal. He was quite anti-Trump, anti-gun, liberal gun controls and what have you. And did you see Donald Trump's... He effectively said, I'm sorry it happened, but also that really he probably deserved it. It was there was a time if a US president or any political leader had said something like he said on his Truth Social, I'm not going to read it out, but effectively he was saying good riddance. OK, that's what he was saying. But there was a time whereby that would have been just absolutely huge. But now it's not. It's a funny old world we live in now that the leader of the free world, in inverted commas, can effectively say, well, good riddance, you know, he brought it on himself, which I think is really quite troubling because it means that it feels like we're losing all sense of humanity, and I hope we don't lose it all the way. Right, okay, Paddy McBurtie, he's stepping away from inter-county football. Patrick McBurtie has retired from inter-county football on medical grounds. A statement from the county board yesterday explained that the 32-year-old, with so much to give, if it wasn't for blooming injuries, the 32-year-old made the decision in light of a sustained recurrence of a knee injury, which has hindered the Kilcar clubman in recent season. McBurtie enjoyed 15 years with the Donegal side, making his senior debut for Jim McGuinness against Antrim in 2011 on the same day he played for the county's minor side. He hangs up his boots as one of the county's greatest ever players, having won 7 Ulster Championship medals, a record for a Donegal footballer, the most recent last year. He's, of course, an All-Ireland winner, 2012. He's appeared for Ireland 3 times. He's made 167 appearances, almost over half of those in championship level. What an ambassador, what a legend, and what a loss Paddy McBurtie is to the Donegal setup. I said this on the show before, I'm not a GEA expert. I've never claimed to be, but I said it on the show before. I always thought it was amazing that he seemed to keep the glue together in that team in the lowest points that we had, you know, before Jim McGuinness returned. Let me put it to you like that. He went out and he faced the press. He batted for his team. He had confidence in what they could achieve, and went out and gave interviews in very difficult circumstances. And then he was instrumental in getting Jim McGuinness back as well and building us back up to where we are right now. And unfortunately, he could have had the best yet to contribute. But just at the age of 32, he's having to retire from inter-county football, and it's a huge loss. But he owes us nothing. What a remarkable career that could have been even more remarkable, right? But he has to look after himself. And I am sure that his influence on the Donegal setup is far from over. So if you have anything, any messages you want to send on, or any memories that you want to share about Paddy McBurtie as he dons his cap at an inter-county level, let us know, 086 60 25,000. And we can say good morning now to Kieran McLaughlin, who's solicitor at CS Kelly and Co-Solicitors. Good morning to you, Kieran.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank you so very much for joining us. Right now, there is a growing campaign to save Carn Dunna. Oops, unfortunately, I've lost Kieran there. I'll get Kieran back now in a second. I'm getting logged out of that, so we might go traditional just for the time being. For some reason, I don't know what's going on. Maybe someone's trying to log into our account somewhere else. Who's to say? Just to remind you, 086 60 25,000. A caller says via that message, a car is off the road near Ross Bracken on the Convoy Road. Please drive with care. There is a lot of black ice around. Indeed, there is. There is a red post box beside the post office in Convoy to post letters to Santa. Friday the 19th of December is the last day to post letters to Santa. Right, let's go to line one. Sorry, Kieran, about that. We got disconnected. Yes, there is a growing campaign to save Carn Dunna Courthouse, and there is a meeting taking place tomorrow evening, in fact. So give us the background and how we find ourselves where we're at.
Yes, Greg. In 1983, when I started working as State Solicitor for County Donegal, we had 16 different court sittings in the county. We're now down to four. And we have Letterkenny, which is the main courthouse. We have Buncrana, Ballyshannon, Dunloe. Now, today, or this morning, at 10:30, we have Carn Dunna District Court sitting in Buncrana. Now, the Department of Justice handed over the responsibility for the upkeep and maintenance to the Court Service of Ireland, which was set up for that purpose, and they've allowed Carn Dunna District Court to effectively, is falling apart. Now, similarly, in relation to Buncrana, the plaster's coming off the wall, and as soon as it comes off the wall, they close Buncrana down. Donegal Town, the ceiling at the entrance into the courthouse collapsed a few months ago, and they closed Donegal Town down. And now they've moved Donegal Town down to Ballyshannon. And we had Donegal Circuit Court sitting in Letterkenny last week. It's an absurd position that they're allowing all this to happen. So the solicitors and basically the legal profession, the local politicians and local businesses are getting together to try and revive the courthouse sittings in and around the county. And in particular, we're starting with Carn Dunna.
Is there a sense that this is almost like a consolidation or centralisation by stealth, if I could put it like that?
Absolutely, completely and totally. This is what's happening countrywide. They've closed three courthouses down in County Tipperary. They're centralising them all, and they're closing post offices, they're closing banks, they're closing everything. This is all part and parcel of this entire centralisation procedure that's going on. This is a deliberate policy on the department, off the court services, to close down all the courthouses in Donegal and move this all into Letterkenny.
Can Letterkenny, obviously there's many reasons why losing court sittings in certain areas would be a problem, but just in terms of justice, I suppose, could this county function as it is now if these services were centralised to Letterkenny, or would it have knock-on effects for process time, etc.?
Well, Judge Aylmer spoke out clearly and loudly last week about the closing of Donegal Circuit Court and all the people from Donegal Town and surrounding areas, people going as far west as Glencolum Kill, Killybegs, all of the southern towns, having to come to Letterkenny last week for the circuit court, jury panels, everybody having to come up to Letterkenny. Now, when I go to Letterkenny in the morning, I live in Buncrana, I drive to Letterkenny, it takes me half an hour to get to Letterkenny. When I get to the roundabout in Letterkenny, it takes me half an hour to get from the roundabout up to the courthouse. The traffic is crazy. Parking facilities are mad. And they're not. It's not totally accessible. It's a lovely building, and they have four courtrooms, and it's very modern. But the department, and particularly the court service, are deliberately trying to close down all of the courthouses. Now, they're not going in and knocking the place down. They're just allowing it to fall down. Mm-hmm. They're not carrying out repairs. Why would they not do that? These are listed buildings. The Cardona building is a listed building. It was built in 1870. Buchanan was built in 1840. And they were rebuilt in the 1920s. And now they're doing no work in them at all. And they're just letting them fall apart. Except what we want. Except people in Donegal want. We have to stand up against it.
And also, too, I said this multiple reasons. I presume, you know, a court sitting, be it in Donegal Town or Carr and on Buchanan, too, is a lift for the local community, too. You're taking that spend out of it. I know that might seem like an odd thing to point out when we're talking about someone going into court, you know, charged with a crime or whatever it might be. But it is there's a commercial element to do. There's a financial factor to it as well.
Yeah. When we had the late Judge O'Hagan in the Circuit Court up here in Donegal, he had special sittings of the Circuit Court in Buchanan for 2 weeks at a time. And we had solicitors from all over the county. Solicitors, barristers, judges, drivers, and witnesses travelling from all over the county, and they were having their coffees at 11 o'clock, their lunches at 1 o'clock, they were staying in the local hotels, and the local businesses were really, really doing well out of it. Now, a very interesting court set up at the moment is over in Dunloe, in the old church, where you have the courthouse sitting there once a month, you have the library in there, you have a coffee shop in there, and it's a lovely communal building, and it should be promoted. We would love to do the same for Carndona. Now, the department, I organised a meeting for tomorrow in the courthouse in Carndona, and I was contacted last week, and I was told that if we wanted to go ahead with our meeting, that we had to organise hard hats for all the people attending the meeting. And I contacted a local group HML, and Hubert McGaughan Jr., he volunteered to give me 50 hard hats for free.
Well, that's
for the
backfired,
day
hasn't it?
people coming to the meeting. But then I got an email yesterday from the court service telling me that Cardona Courthouse has been temporarily closed on health and safety grounds following the advice of the Office of Public Works. And the building is not open for general access, but it may be possible for a small number of people to view the premises with the assistance of an OPW supervisor in attendance. Therefore, it will not be possible to have the Carndona Courthouse open this coming Wednesday at such short notice. If you wish to select an alternative date for a small number of people to visit the courthouse, we will make arrangements to inquire with the Office of Public Works whether access to the building can be facilitated. As the building is closed on health and safety grounds, it is not suitable to hold a meeting there. The court service is currently exploring all options regarding the future of the courthouse in Carndona. While no decision has yet been made on reinstating the property as an active court venue, the court service have been approached by a local community group expressing interest in engaging in discussions about the potential use of the building. These discussions aim to identify a mutually beneficial arrangement that would support both community needs and the continued presence of court services in the area.
Is that a glimmer of hope, or do you think that's a kick it down the road statement?
No, that's a kick in the backside for myself, because I then had to contact the Colgan Hall in Carndona to see what they allow us to use their venue on Wednesday, tomorrow, for a meeting at 2 o'clock, and they very kindly agreed to us use their hall for that purpose. But the hall is not as bad. I've seen photographs, recent photographs of the inside of the courthouse, and it's not as bad as they're making out.
Yeah.
This is absolutely ridiculous. They're trying to keep us out of there.
I think the optics are being handled there. I'm not suggesting any impropriety, but I think there's a bit of management of the optics there. So obviously the meeting tomorrow is in Carndona, but it sounds to me like there could be members of local communities, the business communities, those affected in Donegal Town, for an example, that might have an interest in this, because it's talking to a wider situation, I think, Kieran, rather than just the condition of Carn Donagh Courthouse and its use as a courthouse. This is a bigger thing. This is countywide court services, it feels to me.
Yeah, I'm setting up a group, and I'm calling the group the County Donegal Courthouse Protection and Maintenance Group. And it's not just Carn Donagh, it's Buncrana. But Buncrana's next in the list for closing down, I can tell you that. Donegal Town has closed down in the last few weeks. But it's not just about the legal profession. It's not just about the courthouses. It's about local business. The local businesses in Carn Donagh are very, very supportive of the group that we've set up now to try and get the courthouse up and running again. And if we can use the courthouse for different purposes, great. And we would welcome
make it any more
local
viable, yeah.
Want to.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. And you don't want a courthouse that's only been used one day a week.
Yes.
Now, I was talking to Dr. Dennis McCauley, the local coroner, who's originally based in Stranorra, but he's originally from Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And he would love to get Carn Donagh District Court up and running again. He would hold his inquest there.
Yeah.
And I was actually trying to persuade him to get St. Eugene's Hall over in Mobile, where we used to have a court sitting in years gone by, get that up and running again, and we could have our local inquests there.
Mm-hmm.
But as well as that, we used to have social welfare appeals in the area, and then we had the other groups using buildings for different purposes. The offices in the courthouse in Carn Donagh and in Buncrana were both used by local branches of the Department of Agriculture, and they've all gone now. So these things are very, very important for the area, and yeah. Get it up and running.
For sure, and of course, people having to travel such great distance and organise parking or lifts or what have you. I don't want to sound too cynical here, right? And I'm not saying HICWA hasn't done good work, but sometimes HICWA went into buildings, right? And what seemed like, you know, in the public interest, reports then effectively became an opportunity maybe to consolidate or downsize or reduce. Now, I'm not saying HICWA doesn't do good stuff, don't get me wrong. This feels very similar. This feels like health and safety being, but you're skipping about five or six steps where proper maintenance and investment didn't happen. You're just getting straight to, oh my God, no, you can't go here. It's not safe. And again, HICWA, it felt like HICWA was being used to do that to some facilities around the county as well. And it happens in a trickle, Kieran. It happens in a drip, drip, drip. And next thing you know, we've got, you know, one big hospital in Letterkenny, not that that's the case, or one big courthouse in Letterkenny and down the rest.
Yeah. But you see, the thing is that the courthouse in Carn Donagh and Buncrana are both on the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage, and both of them are listed buildings. And here we have a group, or a government department, if you want to call it that, who are allowing these buildings to run down. Now, if you were living in a house that was a listed building, and you allowed it to deteriorate, or if you made alterations or additions to it, the next thing the local authority would be prosecuting you for allowing that to happen. But they're allowing their own buildings to deteriorate. Mm. They're allowing their own buildings to fall down.
Okay.
The local group, the Tidy Towns group in Buncrana, have been pressurising the court service to paint the outside of the courthouse, because it was one of the deficiencies in the report from the Tidy Town of Buncrana.
Yeah,
the courthouse was so ugly from outside.
Yeah, it dropped the numbers
down.
Yeah. Okay, Kieran, the meeting was due to take place in Carn Courthouse. For the reasons you've outlined, it no longer can, though that's questionable. But it's going to be in the Colgan Hall now. So give us the time and place, just to be sure everyone knows.
I'm still arguing it out with the court service, and I sent them a responding email. And I've asked them, I've told them I've organised the hard hats, and I've told them that I have photographs of the inside of the building, and I'm very anxious to try and keep it in the courthouse. But if the people come to the courthouse and there's a sign outside to say that we're blocked tomorrow, just go over to the Colgan Hall and we'll take it off from there. And I'm inviting all the local politicians are on board, all of the local businesses are on board, and all of the local legal profession are all on board. So if we get our group meeting and get this group up and running, we have representatives coming from Donegal Town, we have Buncrana represented, and the local Carn Donagh groups. So if we can get this up and running, to put the pressure on the government and on the court service to get Cairndonnell up and running, we will probably save Buncrana and hopefully get Donegal Town up and running again. So
yeah.
I would invite anybody interested, come along.
And I think if you have still access to those 50 hard hats, I think it could make for a very interesting PR picture as well, whether or not you can get into that courthouse, if you get where I'm coming from. All right, Kieran, look after yourself. Thanks very much indeed. Kieran McLaughlin there, solicitor at CS Kelly & Co. Solicitors. That meeting tomorrow afternoon. It's an interesting point, and it is, again, some people might feel chipping away. You know, it's chip, 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 but little... seemingly little things in rural communities, but you lose one thing, then you lose another, and then maybe those court sittings were what kept a local calf. I don't want to say that because there might be a local calf and I'm not aware of that, but maybe those sittings were what gave them the boost to help them get through the quieter times. You know where I'm coming from? Every action has a reaction. So there's a big story in the Daily Mail today saying that around the country it's relatively widespread that people who can't get taxis home are ringing 999. So theoretically, someone's out in Buncrana, can't get a taxi back to Letterkenny, calls the ambulance services, gets as far as the hospital, and then makes their way home. A second allegation that was made is that people are phoning emergency services to get an ambulance to collect elderly relatives and bring them to hospital, and then the families head away on holidays. Again, both of these, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but they seem like maybe it happened once and a story's been built around them. But I could be wrong, and I'm not in any way having a go at the councillor that said it or the journalist that wrote it. It just feels, I don't know, there's something about it doesn't feel right. But anyway, John Joe McGowan is General Manager of Operations for the National Ambulance Service in the West and Northwest, which covers a big area. John Joe, thank you so much again for chatting to me. How are you keeping, first and foremost?
Good morning, Greg. Thank you. Yeah, keeping well, thanks.
That's good. Right, so those two scenarios outlined there that are making the headlines today, is that something that you've come across often?
Yeah, Greg, your assumption of it at the start is correct. It isn't something that we come across on a regular basis. Now, we can't say that it has never happened. It's not something we track. It's not something that is raised through the structures towards us, and we believe it isn't a correct accusation at all. When we get a 999 call, they're clinically triaged, so they go through a triage system, and that gives a determinant code, so it basically creates the priority of the call. The lower acuity calls or the lower priority calls, which most of these would fall into, then is further assessed to see if we can send them on an alternative pathway, or indeed not even send an ambulance at all. That triage is done by advanced paramedics, nurses, consultants, regs in our call centre. So by the time an actual ambulance is deployed to some of them low acuity calls, it has gone through multiple triages, and the fact of them, they would be sent on an alternative pathway or told that we're not sending an ambulance.
But also, John, I presume there's assessment on arrival as well. And if someone's standing there, they would have to then continue to with this. They'd have to also then, I presume, continue with this imagined crisis for the ambulance crew then to assess them, take them with them and take them back to Letterkenny in this example. Again, that there's so many layers to this that make it seem completely unlikely to me. Again, I can't say it doesn't happen, but it just doesn't seem logical.
Yeah, you're correct. When the crew get out there, they'll do an assessment. Now, through Irish law, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for us to leave a patient at a scene or not transport to a patient without either sending to an alternative care pathway or to say for the likes of Pathfinder maybe to be called out and assess the patient or the community paramedic. But yeah, it goes through multiple layers of triage before the patient is actually transported to ED. Look, we can't say that it has never happened. Our call volumes increasing year on year. We were just running our stats for this week, and our call volume this week compared to the same week last year alone has gone up circa 7%. We deal on average roughly in the west-northwest, so that's Donegal to Galway, we deal on average around 1,200 to 1,300 calls a week. Our call volume last week was up on 1,500 calls. So,
what would you attribute that season to, John Joe? Because, I mean, you're comparing the season a week in the same season in 2 years in a row. Is it easy to what you might be? A 7% increase is really significant, and that's a much greater demand on resources than the figure sounds. So is there any, is it the flu maybe? People are becoming particularly unwell at home with this nasty flu that's going around, or maybe you don't feel like speculating?
Yeah, no, look, flu season has hit earlier this year. Mm. Flu season has hit earlier in Ireland than it has in other European countries. So that's definitely a piece off the puzzle, that flu is a major contributory factor in relation to this. The other piece in relation to this is flu vaccines is down, and we would encourage everybody to get their flu vaccine. The other thing is flu or ambulance service call volumes across the world and in Ireland is increasing every week normally anyway. It's just society is changing in the way ambulances is called, and that element of it as well is also adding to the increased call volume. But overall, there's many factors that contribute to it, but flu is a big one this year, and the flu hitting earlier this year than it has in other years, with the low uptake in flu vaccine is causing that increase.
And just in relation to this accusation that families are calling the ambulance to offload an older person to the hospital so they can go on their holidays. Again, I mean, that sounds to me like, and you'll know, that sounds to me like a story maybe people have heard, but no one's ever actually spoken to the person that was involved in it. Do you know that sort of way? It sounds to me like a little bit like one of those industry myths. I could be wrong. You're the man to let me know.
No, you're 100% correct. And like, if you put it into context, the patient would go into hospital and subsequently be discharged and discharged to where? Because their family's away in hospital. So it's nonsensical. Yeah. Again, it is an accusation that was made. It is unfounded on our part, and we've rebutted it in national media's yesterday and today.
Yeah, okay. Right. So any advice just at this time of year, John Joe, just in relation to what we can be doing to ensure that, we're using resources appropriately? Obviously, in the case of an emergency, you ring the emergency services, right? But is there any bits of advice that we can use this as an opportunity to get out there, or have we covered everything?
Yeah, no, Greg, look, it's just the common sense approach. We would ask everybody, definitely, in the case of emergency, dial 9919 or 112. However, if the person doesn't believe it to be an emergency, think on alternatives, your pharmacy, your GP, your out-of-hours doctor, all them other avenues prior to dialing 999 or 112 and going to the hospital. The hospitals are jammed. It's not a place to be if you're not sick. It is definitely the correct place to be if you are sick. But look, we just ask everybody to be mindful of how busy it is and to look at all the alternatives before they dial 999 or 112.
If I don't see you before Christmas, a very happy Christmas. And to all of the national ambulance services, you never want to see them. And then there's times where it's the only thing that you want to see. They do amazing work all year round. They really are remarkable people, and a big thank you to all of them and you as well, John Joe. If we don't chat between now and Christmas, there's always problems, but listen, 99.9% of the time, they're amazing lifesavers, and we sometimes potentially can take them for granted. So thank you, John Joe.
Thanks, Greg.
Look after yourself. That's John Joe McGowan, General Manager of Operations for National Ambulance Service West Northwest. Let us say hello now to our next guest on the show, Bernie McGuire. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. Right now, you had a recent experience out on the roads. Run us through the story, Bernie.
Right. We went to Cinema Anoma on Sunday evening. There's an echo in this.
I'm sorry, if you can stick with it, please do. If you can't, we can. Yeah, go ahead.
We went to the cinema Anoma, and I always go back up by the schoolie to get my diesel. So off we went to the schoolie, got the diesel, was heading on into Killigordon direction, and I went to a big pothole full of water. It was dark, it was raining, so I didn't see it, and I busted my tyre. But I was lucky I got it actually home, because I got a new car 6 weeks ago, and there's no spare tyre in new cars anymore. So I would have been stuck at the side of the road with no tyre.
Yeah, which is a nightmare. I mean, you can ring your insurance company and it'll get someone around, but it is a pain in the backside. It's one of those ones, isn't it? Your tyre presumably is badly damaged or destroyed, but you did manage to get home. But you sort of wondering, why aren't we doing more to fix these potholes?
Well, everywhere you go, there's roadworks, so I can't understand why the potholes are not fixed, you know.
Yeah.
It was worse because we left a Canadian boy on Saturday. He's here for over Christmas, and his first trip out, we bust a tyre on the road. So it doesn't look great.
Would you consider claiming for it, Bernie? Because quite a few people do, but not everyone knows that you can. You can get photos and all and make a claim against the council if it's a, you know, if it's a pothole.
I busted two tyres before on the road, on the more or less the same road, going back to, down to Killigordon direction. I had a stone on the side of the road and I busted two tyres and I was left on the side of the road that day. I didn't know you could claim then, but somebody told me yesterday that you can claim. So I did ring them. They did say they'd send me out an email to put on a claim, but as of yet, I'm still waiting on the email. I haven't got it yet for a check this morning to see if it's in, and I don't have it.
But as you say, the work is there's work's ongoing left, right and centre, as happens towards the end of the year. What's the plan in terms of road maintenance and fixing these holes? Have you been on that road since? Is the pothole still there?
I had to go down it yesterday morning because I had to leave the car into the garage to look, check the shocks on it now. I know what, I think I've busted a shock on it.
I'm blowing out.
So I stopped at the road and I did take a video of the pothole, and it's massive. Like it's a huge pothole.
Okay. Send it in to us if you can. And oh, I do have it already, actually. Let me see if I can bring it up here. Oh, yes. OK, that is a biggie. I just have to download it here. Stay with us. Just have a look at that.
When it was video in the Mount of Cares, it was popping up.
Holy moly, that's not a pothole. Yeah. That's massive. Yeah. Right. OK, so whereabouts is that?
It is between Liscooley and Killigordon, but it's more on the Killigordon side.
Yeah,
on the left hand side when you're going towards Killigordon from Castlefin, you may say.
Yeah, that's no joke. That's a big one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks for that. We'll get that forwarded on to the council as well and see if we can get that filled as a matter of urgency, because that's going to cause a serious collision. I know I'm not belittling what you went through, but that could actually cause a big problem, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could, because you're under before you even see it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Bernie, listen, thanks for that. Hopefully the damage is not too extensive, but you would give that a jaunt. You need to check your tracking and your shocks and everything. Hopefully you get that email too, check your spam from the council, because you were entitled to claim. And the more we do, perhaps, the more urgency there will be to fix these problems. Thanks, Bernie.
Yeah,
look
after, perfect.
Look
Thank
after
you very
yourself.
Much. Have a
Bye-bye.
Good Christmas.
You too. Happy Christmas,
right.
Bernie, to you and yours. Bernie McGuire there, 086 60 25,000. If you are familiar with that, it's a pothole, but it's a trench, right? And the design of it now, a wheel will go in it in its entirety, so it's only going to get bigger and bigger. Right, now, there's a minor collision on the Rockhill Road past Old Dunn Stores, so thankfully it seems no one's injured, but just be careful if you're approaching that area to do so with additional caution. On violence, morning, 100% Greg, those attacks are going to become common. We all have to be so vigilant. Look at our own towns and cities, unrecognisable. We're on the verge of World War III if we aren't in it already. Abuse of the ambulances. Aren't paramedics trained to on-the-spot diagnose if the hospital trip is necessary? Surely they can take a name and just tell the chancellors to bugger off and fine them for wasting call-out. The older family members thing is mad. Like, do the hospitals not just discharge the older relative after the check? What happens there? Well, that text came in before our chat to John Joe there, and I think really you've hit on it, that it doesn't seem logical that this is actually happening. This is why I keep saying we need to bring shame back. Trump's done a million things that would be career-ending for any public figure just 15 years ago, and no one bats an eye because no one has any shame anymore. Shame. Is it shame or is it accountability or what is it? I don't know. There's a massive pothole in the shopping centre car park in Ballybofey. It's an absolute disgrace. Are we on pothole wash? Because there's an awful pothole at Lower Donoughmore Church, 2 on the Maid, Castlefin to Liscooley Road. So maybe maybe you can get them into us and we can get that information out, because you don't want something happening to someone's car. And, you know, some of these potholes could take a wheel off. Some of them are an inconvenience in a car park, but that one that we were just chatting to Bernie about, that's one that needs doing straight away. That's actually a hazard. And it sounds like this one at Lower Donoughmore Church is a hazard as well. Right, we'll be back with Community Garda information and so much more after we take a short recess for the news and obituary notices.